Hey, good morning, everybody. That's a great song, isn't it? That's a great song. In the days when we were traveling on the road, Pastor Laura used to spend many, many hours just praying and interceding, and God would give her music, and that one came out, and it was just, I remember the people in the studio when we were recording that, they were like, oh, man, this is going to be a hit, you know? This is like, you know, the guys in the studio, it's like, but the Holy Spirit was so present in that song every time she sang it. And I just asked her to sing it today because we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit as our guide. In fact, we're going to be sharing this for a couple weeks. The Holy Spirit is our guide. You know, we're talking about the Bible heroes. The Holy Spirit is probably one of the most important Bible heroes that we can talk about. So that's what I want to do today is just really focus in on how he guides us, kind of introduce this, and then I believe it will help you to do some real praying and real seeking of what God has for your life. So I'm going to open with prayer and just ask the Holy Spirit to do what he does and teach us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being our guide. We thank you for being our helper, for coming alongside of us and doing what only you can do to order our steps, to speak to us, to empower us, to give us your gifts to see the miraculous, to see supernatural signs and wonders come through us as we believe that you are bigger than any circumstance, any problem, that you give answers where there are none, you give wisdom where we're in darkness, and you give open doors when it seems like all has been lost or all is closed to us. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, we ask that you would speak to us through this message, through the Word of God today, that we can know you better and know how to listen to you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Janice sharing her testimony, and it was interesting. She had that scripture running through her mind, and then her thought was, well, that's not possible because I'm going to be dead in a few minutes. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, listen to what he's saying. You know, I believe that'll be a situation that when we're in difficult situations, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll give us wisdom that we couldn't come up with on our own. He'll speak to us, and he'll get us out of life and death situations. He'll allow us to make choices that take us in a direction that change the course of our life. Some of you probably don't know that October 12th, every year, we celebrate Christopher Columbus Day. And you know the reason? We know the reason we celebrate it, because he discovered, you know, the Americas. But I want to say the reason we celebrate Christopher Columbus Day is because he was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may not know this. I kind of knew this, but I was reading this one day, and I thought this might be interesting to you, to let you know a little bit about Christopher Columbus and how he was led by the Holy Spirit. Christopher Columbus labored for 7 years to convince the European monarchs to finance his seaborne explorations. Finally, winning the support of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand, he set sail on August 3rd, 1492, thinking he was on his way to India. He discovered the New World on October 12th, 1492. In his Book of Prophecies, Columbus records a remarkable set of perspectives on his voyage. He was not sailing or exploring for himself. He says he was sailing by the will of God. Quote, I prayed to the most merciful Lord about my heart's great desire, and he gave me the spirit and the intelligence for the task. Seafaring, astronomy, geometry, arithmetic, skill in drafting spherical maps, and placing correctly the cities, rivers, mountains, and ports. I also studied cosmology, history, chronology, and philosophy. Columbus writes, it was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel his hand upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with the Holy Scriptures, encouraging me continually to press forward and without ceasing for a moment they, the scriptures, now encourage me to make haste. Haste, he professed. His continuing remarks gave evidence of an unshakable confidence in the purposefulness of his calling. All things must come to pass that have been written by the prophets. I am a most unworthy sinner, but I have cried out to the Lord for grace and mercy. I have found the sweetest consolations since I made it my whole purpose to enjoy his marvelous presence. No one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior. The working out of all things has been assigned to each person of our Lord. I love that. The working out of all things has been assigned to each person by the Lord. Every single person on the earth has an assignment from God that can change the world. The fact that the gospel must still be preached, and here's his mission, is to so many lands in such a short time, this is what convinces me. This was Christopher Columbus saying, I was compelled by the will of God, I was encouraged by the word of God, and I was led by the Holy Spirit to do what he did. It was the Holy Spirit who guided and spoke to Christopher Columbus about taking this voyage, and it was the Holy Spirit who guided him throughout his journey. Now, I brought that up because that's a stunning example of a person who changed the course of history. And for whatever could be perceivably his motivations, he says his motivations was that the will of God, it was the will of God for him to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And God guided him on a journey that everybody thought was ridiculous or hopeless. So the Holy Spirit used him to change the course of history. Okay? Now the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is the third person of the Trinity as described in Scripture. It's not, I didn't say he's the third person of the Trinity as understood by Scripture, but as described by Scripture as well as our human intellect can understand that concept. So the Holy Spirit is so humble that he will not even speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He speaks only what he has been told to speak of Jesus. Now, isn't that amazing? He has absolute power. He is absolute God, but yet he chooses not to even speak about himself. You know, that's why, I mean, he is not a dove, but he's pictured allegorically in the scriptures as a dove, because a dove is, you know, well, there's a lot of characteristics, but one of them is, you know, they get scared easily, or they get scared off easily. It's not like a crow or some other or a goose. You can't get rid of geese very easily. A dove, very sensitive. So it's the Holy Spirit. So he's very sensitive. He's very humble. He needs to be entreated and invited and welcome. And this is why, and a lot of times, he's probably the most misunderstood of the three persons of the Godhead, the most misunderstood. And when he does manifest, he's also very misunderstood because he comes out of the spirit realm and manifests in the natural. And to us, many times, we're not used to that. So you see some things happening when the Spirit manifests in our life that kind of takes the natural and turns it into something more mystical or phenomenal. And we don't always understand that. I mean, we don't understand how miracles take place. We don't understand even the physiology or the transference of the natural into something that shouldn't normally take place. Well, we call it miracles. We call it, just these miraculous transformations that take place. Well, the Holy Spirit can come and do that when it's in agreement with his word, God's will, and our faith. Tremendous things can happen. Janice was supposed to be dead. The Holy Spirit spoke to her. She acted on faith in that word, did what the Holy Spirit told her to do. And she's alive today giving her testimony. And I hope she gives it a lot of places. Not just a Spirit Life church. But she needs to get out and do that a lot of places. Anyway, so in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has been given charge of the affairs of the body of Christ and of the kingdom of God on the earth. Now, I understand Jesus is the Lord of the church. He's the head of the church. But he has given authority to the Holy Spirit to come to speak for him. And he speaks. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. He speaks for Christ. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, he's in charge, buddy. It's the Word of God. And we don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people are kind of afraid of the Holy Spirit. I think that's why a lot of times the church doesn't particularly talk about the Holy Spirit very much. First of all, he's a little bit more of a mystery. When Jesus was a human being. We see what he did. The Holy Spirit, Jesus even said about the Holy Spirit, it's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So what we have to do, and through what I want to teach you today and hopefully the next couple of Sundays, is how to be in a place where you can hear him, where you can listen to that, and you will know what he's saying so that you have, I'll tell you what, you have knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and you have direction and instruction beyond what you could normally have in your human mind or from human wisdom or human instruction. I mean, you can know all things, but yet, one, as Laurie's song would say, just one word throws back the dark. Just one word. He speaks right to your inner part. The Holy Spirit wants this relationship with us because he indwells us. He has come to, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when that has happened, he came to take up residence on the inside of you. Your spirit has been possessed by him, indwelt by him. And in fact, it changes the very DNA of your spirit, of who you are. You become a son or a daughter of God. Again, I don't know how that all happens, but this is what the scriptures tell us, that when you have received Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you, you become a new creation, a new creature, a new person. All old things are passed away. All things have become new. Now our mind is being transformed and our body needs to submit to the will of God. And we understand all that because we're a three-part being. But our spirit is of God. And he who is born again does not sin. They are justified before God. In fact, on Wednesday nights, we're starting to go through the book of Romans that explains this in detail on how through faith in what Jesus has done, our lives are totally transformed. So I encourage you, as you grow in this learning to hear the Holy Spirit, you also need to learn who you are so when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you don't go, well, that can't be true. Because a lot of times the Holy Spirit, see, again, this is great. I love the song, the lyrics in this song that Lord says, the world is constantly communicating to you, but the Holy Spirit's speaking too. He's speaking too. And what you have to do is learn how to hear him. This is what we want to teach you. Learn how to hear him. But I want to get you interested in paying the price to be able to hear him. Because you can't just be, what's the word I'm thinking of? You can't be just walking down the road, with some attitude and the Holy Spirit's just going to speak to you. Because you got swagger or something. In fact, your swagger might be resisting the Holy Spirit. I don't know. So we want to get ourselves and our heart and our attitude in a place where not only, I mean, I believe he's speaking generally, but he wants to speak specifically, and we need to get our attitude and our heart and our lives in a place where we hear what he's already saying to us. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. He is not Jesus. He is God the Holy Spirit. So that being said, I want to show you this scripture. Put it up on the screen, John 14:26 from the English Standard Version. It says this, but the Helper... Who? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. See, the Father is sending him. So it's not the Father. The Father is sending him. Is that clear? That's clear to me. It's not clear to everybody. And he will teach you. Now, the Father's not teaching you, and Jesus is not. Jesus is talking. Jesus is talking about the Father sending the Spirit. So there's three people here. Is that clear to you? It's clear to me. It's not clear to everybody. All right. He will teach you all things, not about the weather and stuff, but he'll teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things. He'll teach you all things that Jesus has taught us, that God wants us to know, all things that Jesus said. He'll bring that to remembrance to us. So this is how important it is. We can read the words of Jesus, but you see, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us about the words of Jesus. A lot of people read the words of Jesus, and they don't understand them because they need the Holy Spirit to teach them. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. He's the teacher of the body of Christ. He teaches us. He explains it. He expounds. He helps us understand it. When you're reading the Word, here's what happens. If you're reading the Word and the Holy Spirit wants to teach you something, whatever you're reading will kind of like illuminate a little bit. It'll be kind of like, oh, that means something to me. Hey, I can do all things through Christ. Wow, I need to have a little I can do all things right now. And the Holy Spirit says, no, not you. You can do all things through Christ. Oh, okay, Holy Spirit. It's through Christ that I can do these things, right? See, this is what the Holy Spirit will do while you're reading the Word. He'll begin to reveal things to you. So when you're reading the Bible, I mean, I understand we want to read the Bible in a year, but I'll tell you what, if you're reading the Bible through in a year and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts to illuminate something, just put the brakes on there for a second, baby. Just stop wherever you're reading and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about it. Because what will happen is that word will change your life forever. That word will change your life forever. I remember when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost and I began to read the Word like that, where I was allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me. And I was reading this in Romans where it said, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal flesh. And I just felt all sickness and disease leaving my body. I just felt like anything that was dying was just like resurrected. I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, this is the promise you can stand on. Anytime you face physical adversity, anytime you face death, anytime you face anything that's attacking your body, he will give life to your mortal flesh. Now, that was 40 years ago. I remember it like yesterday. I mean, and when I read the scriptures and there's like, I mean, I don't see a glow. It's not, you know, but I want to say I do. But it's just like all of a sudden it's like, I want to stop there because it's feeding my spirit. Something's feeding me. You know, I can go through and Abraham begat so-and-so and I may not, or I may or may not get the feeding part. But when I get into some of the, and the Holy Spirit wants me to get nourishment from that, he helps teach me what that means. So when you're reading through scripture, ask the Holy Spirit. Don't try to understand the Bible with your mind. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. He said, well, what if I get led astray? Well, then ask the Holy Spirit not to lead you astray. So many excuses for not wanting the Holy Spirit to be involved in our lives. The Holy Spirit, well, if you ask, Jesus said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a snake. If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a demon. As if speaking in tongues is of the devil. Devil, you said, I said devil. It's of the devil. Well, if it's of the devil, why are not they speaking in tongues in the penitentiaries and in the bars and the brothels and in the houses of prostitutions and the drug houses? Hey, I'm scoring. No, the Holy Spirit, the devil's not speaking in tongues. Only Pastor Tom could explain it that way, right? So I will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. What a relationship. Man, the older you get, the more you want this scripture. I will bring remembrance all that I've said to you. The Holy Spirit functions as our teacher and comes alongside to help us understand the plans and the purposes of God. He empowers us with supernatural endowments. We call them spiritual gifts. Supernatural endowments, godly impartations of his manifestation, and they manifest in different ways, in faith, in miracles, in healings, in prophecy, in tongues, and in interpretation of tongues, and words of knowledge, and words of wisdom. These things are imparted to us in many other ways, by the way. These spiritual endowments. So we have not, and when you enter into a relationship with God, you've not entered into another religion where you just are following rules and regulations. What you're entering into is a relationship with the creator of the universe. And when you discover how much he loves you, you want to follow his instructions, and the Holy Spirit is the one that is giving you those instructions. Obviously, the Holy Spirit will not violate the word of God. So when it says he will bring to your remembrance everything I've said unto you, you can't remember anything that you have not learned. So if you do not read the word, study the word, memorize the word, the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. Maybe Morse code, SOS, you know, repent, something like that. But it's somewhere at some point, the word of God is what he's speaking to you, reminding you of, agreeing with, confirming to your life. And we'll get into more of that in another session here. But he empowers us with spiritual gifts. He is our guide into the mysteries of God, into the wonders and the mysteries of God. And these are phenomenal. When you begin to really allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the word of God, you begin to see things that you go, this is rich, this is powerful, this has got so many layers and dimensions to it. It's like the word of God. You could just peel back. Here's another understanding. Here's another dimension of it. Here's another empowerment of it. Here's another way it applies to my life. It just never runs out. In fact, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Hearing, ongoing. Hearing and hearing and hearing. I've heard that before. No, hearing. You may have heard the words, but you weren't listening. You have to hear it and hear it and hear it. I mean, you could read a scripture 100 times. You can read a scripture 100 times. You can have a certain perspective on how you think God's working things out in your life, and all of a sudden you read a scripture. Like, you might think, eh, I'm just so discouraged and down and out, and this is God's way of telling me to quit. And then you read a scripture that says, be strong and very courageous. And it's saying, be courageous. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Press on, like Christopher Columbus. And you go, discouragement wasn't God's way of telling me to quit. It was the devil's way. Because God's word just got revealed to me. He says, don't be discouraged. Okay. So how important it is to get the and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about things. He guides you into the mysteries. He speaks to you, revealing things concerning the kingdom of God and God's plan for your part in that kingdom. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. I mean, teachers, pastors, leaders, I mean, books, all kinds of stuff can tell you that you have one and you need to discover it, and here's how you discover it. But ultimately, when it gets right down to it, if you really want to know, the Holy Spirit has to speak and confirm that to your heart, because he's created you're unique as an individual who's not like anyone else, and he wired you up a certain way, and the Holy Spirit will confirm this to you. I remember when I had first gotten saved, and I had to make a decision where I was going to go to college, and so I was praying about it, because I had just gotten saved, and I wanted to serve God so strongly, and I was praying about it. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll go to some great Bible school or Oral Roberts University or the Rhema Bible Training Center or some seminary and go to the ministry. And I'm saying, God, where do you want me to go to school? And the next morning, I'm praying that, and I went to sleep that night. The next morning, I went to church. It's a good thing when you want God to speak to you. Show up in church. That wasn't even in my notes. So show up in church. And I'm in church. You know how we all are. When we're not in charge of anything, we just show up in church. Let's see if they're going to impress me today. See if there's anything special going on, anything new. Has Pastor Tom got anything exciting going on here? See if he can keep me awake. All right. So I open the bulletin. And there's this piece of paper that falls out into my lap. Just like, zoom, slides out into my lap. I went, oh, what's this? And it says, are you called into ministry? Threw the bulletin away. I said, yes, I am. And it was just like to me. And it was a call for pastors to go into ministry at Concordia College here in Milwaukee. I hadn't even thought about Concordia College. I mean, I was raised in the Lutheran church. I was in a Lutheran church at the time I opened the bulletin. Nobody else in that congregation, there weren't any other teenagers in the congregation, put it that way. I was the only one sitting up in the balcony. That fell out. It was speaking to me. I went home that right after church, and I said, Mom, I said, I've been praying about where to go to college. And she goes, she knows, because she was helping me do research. I said, here it is. She says, honey, it looks like the Lord spoke to you. I said, yes, he did. And I went there for 4 years. Got all my, you know, I went to school, and not to belabor upon, took all the pastoral courses I could, took all the Bible courses I could, took all the this, that, and the other thing. And then when I graduated from there, God said, I want you to accept the invitation to go into this Christian music group. It wasn't a paid position, it was a volunteer position, but it got me involved with ministry. So he said, go into this music group. And I did. It was about 11 people who traveled around the country called Joy Incorporated. We went to Lutheran churches and contaminated them with Christian rock music, contemporary worship, excuse me. And there was a singer in there named Lori. There was a singer in this group named Lori. Lori, she was a nice girl. She was a good artist. She drew a little emblem on my drum thing and all that. And one day I was praying, God, you spoke to me to where to go to school. You spoke to me to be in this. Lord, I want you to show me who I'm supposed to marry.
Oh, my God.
And before my eyes, I have a vision. We're laughing about it, but this is exactly what happened. And all of a sudden, I saw Lori's face.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, you want me to marry her? And God says, yes, I want you to marry her. I said, okay, this is going to be difficult. You see, this group was made up of basically college and high school people. They have one strict rule, no dating. So Pastor Lori, she gives me a Christmas card, and I open it up, and she says a couple nice things about me, and then she says, you're the kind of person I could fall in love with. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it began a long and happy relationship. Now, I could tell a lot more funny stuff about that situation, but the point basically is this. The Holy Spirit put it together. The Holy Spirit put that together. All right? And he put it together because he knew that I needed her. He knew she needed me. And he knew that together we could be 10 times better at what we're going to be doing than if we were not apart, not if we were not together. We could be 10 times stronger because he knew we would be unified around one thing. What does God want for our life? Let's be world changers. I mean, we were raised in households that had a certain amount of influence in the world. So we were kind of used to that. My dad being a businessman, my mom's relatives being in the ministry, her dad being a Lutheran pastor, her mom being a kindergarten teacher who changing people's lives. So we were used to that. So for us, if God said, sell everything and go here, it was like, yes, this is exciting. This isn't risk. You know, some people say, well, faith is taking a risk. And I understand it's taking a risk because we can make mistakes. But when the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, there is no risk. There is no risk where God tells you to go. There is no risk to give what God tells you to give. There is no risk to sell all and be about what God asks you to do. All there is his blessing. That's all there is. And believe me, When I said, God, who do you want me to marry? And he showed Lori to me. I just said, okay. And at that point, we were friends, but we didn't have any, you know, we didn't have any googly eyes or anything. We didn't have any googly eyes. But I'll tell you what, after that night, man, I had googly eyes. I don't know where I learned that from. It's kind of cute, though, isn't it? You know, and God does have a sense of humor. But he also has a lot of wisdom. Because seriously, no disrespect to Lori. Seriously, because she's the finest. She's it. She's everything. I'm a lot of lost for words. You can see that. But at that point, it wasn't like I was trying to hit on her or anything. It wasn't like I had these feelings for her. I mean, she was just a person in the group. We have this person, we have this person, and they're all just people in the group. It was nothing. It was just, we're in this group. But after that night, it was not that she was the only one in the group. So I started sitting with her on the bus. I told you there's a lot of information here. We should probably just move on. And after a couple of times sitting on their bus, the director comes over to me and goes, I need to talk to you guys. You're spending too much time together. There's a no dating rule here. Knock it off. But that didn't change anything. We knew what God had said. Now, I got a couple more examples here, and these are important. We were married for about 2 years, and we were seeking the Lord. We were serving in our local church. I had, instead of going into further education, I decided, well, until we know what God wants us to do, I'm going to work, get a job, or I had a job offer. My dad gave me a job working for him, and then Lori got a couple of jobs, some places where she wasn't supposed to be working. But she was faithful to do whatever, you know, her hand found to do. We were serving in our local church, and so I'm driving my truck, you know, delivering product for my dad, and I have a vision. And I'm driving a truck, and I have a vision where the world just shrunk down, and I'm driving around the world in this little truck, and God speaks to me. The Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, I haven't called you to deliver milk. I've called you to deliver the milk of my word. And the presence and the power of God came on me. I pulled the truck over so I wouldn't crash. And I started bawling, and I was in the presence of God, and I'm like, this is it. This is what he's called me to do, to deliver the milk of his word. Now, can anybody tell me what that means? I have no idea what that means. I mean, you're supposed to deliver the milk. You know, am I delivering Bibles instead of milk? I don't know. It didn't matter. God had called me. He'll sort it all out later. So that night I came home, And my mom had invited Lori to go to a conference. She was in Dallas at a Kenneth Copeland conference. And so, you know, she was going to call that night. And so she called to say, hey, how you doing? So she called and says, how are you doing? And I had a vision. God spoke to me. He goes, I had a vision too. He spoke to me too. Two people, two different cities, same ministry, same calling together. She has a vision. I said, you go first. She goes, I was sitting in there listening to Norval Hayes, and God put a banner over his head, go to Norval Hayes Bible School. I said, awesome. I said, I was in my truck. I said, God told me, I'm not supposed to deliver the milk. I'm supposed to deliver the milk of his word. We're called into full-time ministry together to go to Norval's Bible School in Cleveland, Tennessee. And so we spoke with our pastor. We spoke with our parents. We made we made arrangements. And 6 months later, we packed up and we headed off. Sold everything, went into ministry. That's how the Holy Spirit spoke to us. We were in a place where we were listening to the Holy Spirit. Then about 5 years later, we were traveling, and a lot of the music that Lori has recorded and a lot of the things that we've done in ministry, we're during those 5 years where we were traveling on the road, met a lot of people, and she recorded a lot of her music, wrote a lot of her songs. some of her books. And then we were ministering up here in Milwaukee over a Christmas holiday. We were ministering in this one church. And after the meeting, we went home, and we were staying at my mom and dad's house because we didn't have a house up here. So we were staying in their house, and I was laying down, ready to go to sleep, and I heard the Lord's voice. And he said to me, he says, the pastor of that church is going to resign, and I'm going to ask you to pastor it. And it was like, I sat up out of bed, and I looked at my wife, and I said, I wanted to say, did you hear that? No, she didn't hear it. I heard it. I sat up out of bed. I got her up the next morning, and I said, you won't believe what happened. So I actually went to one of the people on the advisory team, and I said to them, I said, hey, I don't know if I had too much pizza last night or what's going on here, but I felt like the Lord told me this. And I wanted you to know, because if this, you know, just wanted you to know, I just want somebody else to know this, that if this pastor resigns and you feel like you're to call me, you got my number. So I just told one person on the advisory board, and I said, keep it confidential. So about 6 months later, I get a call from my mom. We are on the road traveling, doing ministry, and my mom calls me. She says, hi, honey, how are you doing? And I went, good. She goes, well, I just want you to know our pastor's resigning. So why are you telling me? Well, because you're my son. I went, uh-oh. And I felt the presence of God come all over me like, uh-oh. I thought I was going to have like another 10 years to get ready for this. 6 months. Man. I said, okay, all right, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I decided then to confirm the voice of God by doing several things. Number one, we went to my pastor. We went to some people we respect in ministry. Some of you may know this man. We went to one man named Bishop Kirby Clements. We went to him. We walk in. He's a prophet. He said, as soon as I walked in the door, he says, he's a very big, stout, black prophet, and I walk in and say, behold, before me stands a pastor. And I'm like, okay, okay. And he says, now, he says, go. This is like a movie. He says, now go to a meeting where God can speak to you prophetically. I went, yes, sir. So it just happened. So it happened the next few days. We were serving with Norval Hayes at his conference. And Lori was singing and so forth. And so she sang. She sits down. Benny Hinn gets up. Anybody know who this struggling preacher is? Benny Hinn. All right. Benny Hinn gets up. And Benny Hinn says, who's that little lady who sang? Come up here quickly, quickly. And bring your husband too. Bring your husband. So we come up there. And Benny begins to prophesy about our ministry. God's going to give you a new ministry, he said to me. God's going to give you revelation and to write books about the anointing and this, that, and the other thing. And so we were like, this is confirmation. This is confirmation. I got on the plane the next day to come up to this church that they were looking for a pastor. And they said, we've got a couple of people we're talking to about this. And I said, well, if you want me to be the pastor of the church, you have to vote me in unanimously. And they decided to do that so that I wouldn't be pastoring half the church. I would be pastoring the entire church. But they heard, I said, you need to hear from God if you want me to be your pastor. I said, I believe I'm called to pastor here, but you need to be confident of that. So I became pastor of this church. And then they said, what we're going to turn authority over to you, any decisions you want to make. And I'm like, there aren't any decisions I want to make, except one. The church was located in Germantown. I said, this church belongs in Northridge. You've heard this story. Church belongs in Northridge. God said, this church belongs in Northridge. And I'm like, uh-oh. This is a bad choice, right? And one guy got up, began to cry. He brings out the tapestry that says FCF of Northridge, Faith Christian Fellowship of Northridge. That was the name of the church when it started here. And it started in a home right across the street. And God says, I want you to go here. Now, we've been in this location. We were across the street for 15 years. We were in this location. We've been in this location for 7 years. 7 years. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to locate in Northridge. You see, I had so many other opportunities in life that the natural mind would say, well, that might be a good idea. Like as when I was in that traveling singing group after I was done with college, my dad said, would you like to be a partner with me in my business? He had a pretty good business. The rest of my life, I could be a partner in his business. I went, nothing personal, Dad, but God's called me into ministry. I just know that. He goes, okay, God bless you. Nothing personal. I just had to do what God told me to do. Right out of school, he asked me that. And then here, as a pastor, the first decision that God gives me is relocate this building or this church to Northridge. Now, when in 2006, excuse me, when we were trying to expand our building across the street, and they wouldn't let us because the nature preserve is over there, we began to say, okay, we need to look for another location. A couple months later, this building, this land becomes for sale. And everybody said, do you think we should take this land? And I went, can we get any closer to Northridge? Oh, yeah, Northridge. We forgot about that. All right. I said, we can't get any closer to Northridge. This is as close as we're going to get to Northridge. This is Northridge. This is Northridge. Now, the day we moved over here in 2006, June 26, 2006, I have never seen the devil get so nervous and do more to try to destroy and attack the ministry that God has called us to, ever. And it's not like we've been ineffective the first 30 years of our journey. But somehow when we got into the actual promised land that God had called us to be, the devil was working overtime and inviting his relatives to help him. I mean, I had congregation members, successful businessmen who were very large donors in my church would come to me and go, you know, Pastor Tom, this just wasn't working out here. You know, financially, the economy had tanked right the next year, and Pastor Tom, this really isn't working out here. You've got people leaving the church. He says, why don't you just cut your losses and move on? You and Lori could do this anywhere. And I said, actually, we can't do this anywhere. Because when I prayed about it, the Holy Spirit said to me, stay in Northridge. He says, stay in Northridge. You know, I'm sitting there going, on my own time, not on my time with the Holy Spirit, but on my own time, I'm thinking, yeah, let's go to Brookfield, let's go to Grafton, let's go back down to Tennessee. That was really nice down there. Actually, my two favorite places would be either Aspen, Colorado, or Hawaii. Could be a ski instructor or just lounge around the beach and have a beach ministry. Holy Spirit said, I called you to Northridge. I haven't told you to go anywhere else. So when people say, why don't you go somewhere else? I just tell them what the Holy Spirit tells me. He said, stay here. I haven't told you to go anywhere else. I can't go where I'm not told to go. I mean, you got to understand, coming here wasn't let's shoot a dart on the board. Boom, yeah, it's Northridge, let's go there. This wasn't everybody take a vote. Where do you want to go? We live close to Northridge. There's a cheap building over there. There was nothing in the natural to say go to Northridge other than the fact that God knew this is where he planted this congregation, and he had a pastor and his wife who were willing to say, when do you want us to go? And that's sometimes all you have to go on is just the instructions of the Holy Spirit. As long as it doesn't violate the Word of God and it doesn't hurt anybody, it may cost you a lot. And it has cost us greatly to stay here. But so what? I've got one life, I've got one calling, and until God tells me to do something else, you come here on Sunday morning, it's Pastor Tom and Lori and Laurel, and someday somebody else may be by here, but right now it's the three of us. Amen. We'll be here. Thank you. We'll be here. People come, people go. People say, I'm called here. People say, I'm called to leave here. Guess what? God called me here. He hasn't called me anywhere else.
That's right, right here.
This is my mission. This is our mission. For whatever reason, he's put me in an environment that is somewhat foreign to me, but for whatever reason, he's given us tremendous favor. Now, since we've been here, we've gone through hell, literally. The devil's just trying to pull out all kinds of stops. I've looked at the situation, and it's like, hopeless. There's no way the bank's ever going to let us stay here. We borrowed a lot of money to build this thing. The banks are never going to let us stay here. But as of this year, the banks have chosen to refinance our mortgage. Now our mortgage is half of what it was when we moved here.
Amen.
Half.
Amen. Amen.
Half. And when the Holy Spirit said, I want you to start a daycare, I'm like, oh, I might as well be a rocket scientist. I know just as much about rocket science as I do about daycares. I said, all right. And my bishop said, Pastor Tom, start a daycare. Pastor Lori's supposed to do this. And I said, okay. All right. He says, you're going to have event. Someday, he says, you're going to have 100 kids.
Amen.
I went, okay, great. Daycare. Now I'm going to have to buy a van. I'm going to have to buy a daycare van. I'm a daycare daddy. You know what? We've been having a blast. And you know, all the donations and all the contributions that we have lost either through the economy or our rich businessmen deciding to go somewhere else, God has restored through the daycare. And cut our mortgage in half. And last week, I got a phone call from the Coles. Anybody know who the Coles are? You know, the guy who owns the Bucks. There's a senator. His brother Sid. I got a call from their son. And he says, hi, this is, you know, so-and-so Cole from the Cole Foundation. we were thinking, if it's okay with you, we have these residential lots that go all the way up Glenbrook and up Angela. Would it be okay if we could donate them to your church? Well, you think about it, you know, this is, you don't have to do this. But, you know, my parents are getting old, and it's time for, you know, us to streamline things.
Wow.
I said, you know, I said to him, I said, well, you know, I said, in our business, we call that a blessing. And he said, well, we're here to bless you. So, hey, listen. I could have left a long time ago because in my mind or the great ideas of wise businessmen would have said, you know, if you structure your church like a business and everybody gets a vote and you do things financially this way or that way, I said, you know, you won't have sleepless nights. I had some sleepless nights. I don't know why. You know, banks are going to foreclose on your building. I don't know why. Nobody else has ever had those sleepless nights. I could have made choices that to the natural person would have seen, those are pretty good decisions, Tom. It was rough, but you made the right choice. When God hasn't told you to do anything else, there is no choice. When God tells you to do this, and you know it's God, and you obey it, you just ride it out. Just write it out. It's not over till the Holy Ghost sings. It's not. And the Holy Spirit knows that he needs this piece of property. Oh, prophecies would come to us and say, this is piece of property is a portal to heaven. This is a gateway to heaven. There were prophecy after prophecy. People who didn't even know who I was, he didn't even know our situation, said, you know something? God put you on 76th Street because the 76 is the year of freedom. This is the place of freedom. And this is a portal to heaven, and on and on and on and on and on. And I believe that the blessings are just starting to take place. I believe they're just starting to take place. I mean, see, what happens is if you are faithful when you can't see any answer, and you know God's called you to do it, you can't see any answer, and you're faithful to give when you don't know that there's any possible way for it to come back, when you're faithful to serve, when nobody's honoring, when everybody's criticizing, when you're faithful to be about what God's called you to be, and God goes, now that is the number one requirement for ministry. Watch to see what I can do in those people's lives. And I would say, as a rule, just listen to the Holy Spirit and be faithful to what he tells you. But I want to finish it up today, and I can't emphasize enough, and I told you those stories because I wanted you to see the results of listening to the Holy Spirit. I can't emphasize enough about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then the next couple Sundays, we're going to talk to you about how you can know that you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And here's the reason you need to listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen in our city, in our state, in our economy, in our country. He knows why we needed this facility. He knows why we need these pieces of property here. I'm not building a house. I got one. But he knows why we need it. And until he shows us, we'll be just happy to receive them and do whatever he asks us to do with them. He has a plan for success and supply in every area of our life. This is the Holy Spirit. He is for you. The thoughts and the plans that he has for you of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope, those are from the Holy Spirit. And he will tell you what they are. But so many times we are so busy doing something else or doing what just seems logical that we never stop to hear what his plan is for our life. Well, maybe my mom won't like that. Maybe my husband will be upset. No doubt the devil will use whoever he can to try to stop you. And the people that are closest to us many times are the people the devil will just, you hate this. You hate this. You're self-righteous. They're too Israel. What do you mean they got a plan from God? They're going to go broke. Get a flip chart here. Broke. Sick. Abandoned. Rejected. I mean, just he'll flip it out and just say, which one do you like the most to stop you from the plan of God? He's been doing this a while. The devil's been doing this a while. He got Adam and Eve when there wasn't anything wrong with them. Certainly he knows how to knock you off God's course for your life. And don't you think he won't do it? See, the most dangerous person on this planet to the devil is the person who's listening to the Holy Spirit. It frightens him. He cringes like he's drinking pickle juice or something. I don't know what it is, but he hates the person who's representing and listening to the voice of God. And so I say to you, by all means, by any way possible, separate yourself from everything else except what God is telling you to do. Because that's why you're here on the earth, to give honor and glory to God and fulfill his plan for your life. And everything else, it's just got to go. It's got to go. Okay, the Holy Spirit has come to empower you to do that. And you know what Jesus said to the disciples? Go to Jerusalem and stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. Why? Because you already know what I'm telling you to do, but you can't do it without the Holy Spirit, right? You got to have the Holy Spirit to do it. Because he is going to speak to you, empower you, and embolden you. And I thoroughly believe that, yes, God spoke to me, and I knew that, but he also gave me the boldness. He also gave me the wisdom how to carry out his instructions. And every single one of those instructions, you know, has a backstory to it on how we proceeded and how we tested the voice of God and how God confirmed it to us over and over and over. But just up front, he will begin by saying to you maybe something that you had either never thought of, or something that to the natural mind might seem a little bit hard to comprehend. Hard to comprehend. But if you get used to hearing the Holy Spirit and staying in his presence until he has a confirmation for you, he can guide your life to success and supply. You will face many battles, but not nearly comparable to the victory that you will find in Christ. Well, I want to close. Let's stand on our feet here this morning. This was a good beginning to encouraging you to saying yes to whatever the Holy Spirit has for you. Okay, so just close your eyes here today. You know, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. He's commissioned me here today to challenge you to begin a life of listening to him, to setting time aside. Jesus said, don't go anywhere until you get the Holy Ghost. Don't go anywhere until you receive what the Holy Spirit says to you. And so right now, I just want you in your heart to say, Holy Spirit, I've been too busy. I've been distracted. I haven't set enough time aside to really hear from you. And I'm going to make a commitment today to set some time aside every day to allow you to direct and order my steps and intentionally ask you what it is that you have for me this day. And I believe, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to me. And when I go to the Word of God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will teach me your principles, your ways, that you will correct me if necessary, instruct me in the way that I should go, warn me of things that may happen, empower me for challenges that I will face, give me the boldness to be able to be who you've called me to be throughout the day and not back down. I make a commitment this day. Let's just pray this together. Holy Spirit, I make a commitment this day that I will set aside time every day to listen to you, to pray, and ask you what you have for my day. And I make a commitment to get the Word of God in my heart so you have something to bring to my remembrance and that I have something to confirm your Word. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Fill me. God, I just pray you fill every person here right now to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Just lift up your hands and receive it. It's an act of surrender. Just surrender to the Holy Spirit. Say, God, fill me. Fill me. Fill me right now to overflowing. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Have your way in my life. My heart is yours. I want all you have for me. I want to move in the things of God. I want to be filled with the things of God. And I want to see your Holy Spirit work through my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I give you all the glory and the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Just give the Lord a hand clap now. Thank you, Lord. Well, I hope that was a blessing to you and it encouraged you to really move closer into the things of the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue this until we're done with it. We do have our new believers class. There's a lunch, you're welcome. There's childcare, you're welcome. Anybody's welcome to stay, I believe, because we did make a lot of food for everybody. We also have our fellowship afterwards. Are we doing anything special today? Oh, you know what? We're doing something special today. Uh-huh. I think we are. I don't know if this is spoiler alert or not, but I think we're celebrating Pastor Lori's birthday today. Yes, yes, yes. So maybe when we go downstairs, Kathy, you can sing happy birthday to her and lead us in that. So if you have a minute, come on down, sign the card, and tell Pastor Lori happy birthday. Amen, amen. All right, God bless you. You're dismissed.